Hey guys, it's Elrod, and I'd like to wish you a happy 2024. I have decided to come back and do podcasts. I took some time off because I'm a very proud grandma of a very adorable grandson who is a year tomorrow. So I don't have as much time as I used to have, but I'm going to try to release my podcast the same time, like every Monday at 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So I hope you come back and listen to my podcast. I am going to start with a podcast on Aerosmith. Stay tuned. Hey guys, it's Elrod. Let's get started. My information comes from Stephen Thomas Erlewire. Aerosmith. Aerosmith was one of the most popular rock bands of the 70s. The Boston-based band found the middle ground between the Rolling Stones and the flamboyant New York Dolls. In 1970, Steven Tyler, the vocalist, met guitarist Joe Perry. Tyler, who originally was a drummer, and Perry, they decided to form a trio with bassist Tom Hamilton. The group soon expanded to a quartet, adding a second guitarist, Ray Tabano, who was replaced by Brad Whitford. Then they added drummer Joey Kramer. Steven Tyler became their lead singer. And then they decided to move to Boston. For 2 years, they played in clubs in Massachusetts. Then in 1972, they landed a record contract with Columbia Records. In 1973, Aerosmith's self-titled debut album was released. It reached number 166. Dream On was released as the first single, and it was a minor hit, which is very odd to me. It only reached number 59. For the next year, the band built a fan base by touring in America. Now, here's Dream On. I find it difficult that it only reached 59. I mean, difficult to believe. Where it goes. Dream On was a true power ballad. It was written by Steven Tyler. Even though it only reached 59 on the charts, it was their first major hit. And in Boston, it actually was a number one single. Then in 1974, the group had their second album, which was Get Your Wings. In 1975, they had their third album, Toys in the Attic. This was their breakthrough album. By the time it was recorded, the band's sound had developed into a sleek, hard-driving, hard rock sound. Many critics labeled the group punk, but Steven Tyler's lyrics were filled with double entendres, clever jokes, and the entire band had a streetwise charisma. Toys in the Attic captured the essence of Aerosmith. Sweet Emotion, the first single from Toys in the Attic, broke into the top 40 in the summer of 1975. The album reached number 11, and its success promoted a re-release of Dream On. Here's Sweet Emotion. It shot up to the top 10 by 1976. Okay, so Walk This Way was another single from Toys in the Attic and was released around the time of the group's new 1976 album, Rocks, which was their fourth album. Okay, Walk This Way made the top 10. Here's Walk This Way. What a cool jam. I Do 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 do. Oh. Give me a kiss. The album Rocks went platinum quickly, peaking to number 3. I love Steven Tyler. In 1977, Aerosmith took a break and prepared material for their 5th album, Draw a Line. It was another hit, reaching 11 on the charts. In 1978, the band appeared in the movie Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. They performed Come Together, an old Beatles tune, which eventually became a number 23 hit. I like their version way better than the Beatles. I remember when this was a hit. I was in middle school and I loved it. It became another success, reaching number 13 in 1978. Right now. In 1979, they recorded Night in the Ruts. By the time of its release, Joe Perry had left the band. Him and Steven Tyler had a lot of issues between each other. The album did okay. It actually went gold, but was the group's least successful album. At this point, Brad Whitford left the band also. Aerosmith regrouped with a new guitarist, Jimmy Crespo, and Rick Dufay. And the band released their greatest hits album. It sold 6 million copies. In 1982, Rock in the Hard Place peaked to number 32. Perry and Whitford returned back to the band in 1984. Their group began a reunion tour, and Steven Tyler collapsed on stage. The band was struggling with drug and alcohol issues, as many rock bands do. The following year, they released Mirrors, Done With Mirrors. At this point, Tyler and Perry had completed rehabilitation programs. In 1986, the pair appeared on Run DMC's cover, Walk This Way, and it became a hit. And I just played that. In 1987, their album Permanent Vacation peaked at number 11 and sold over 3 million copies. And they had hits such as Dude Looks Like a Lady, Rag Doll, and Angel. And here is Dude Looks Like a Lady. In 1989, Plump was released, reaching number 5. It sold over 4 million copies. And top singles from the album were Love in an Elevator, Janie's Got a Gun, and What It Takes. Here's Love in an Elevator. I saw Aerosmith in concert a few years back, and they put on an incredible performance. Steven Tyler is unbelievable. He puts his all into it, and you will not be disappointed if you see him in concert. The encore was incredible. He came down, there was like a puff of smoke, came down and there was like a white piano. And his encore was, you guessed it, Dream On. It was so great. So he's still, I think, in Vegas. They're touring. I know he had some issues and had to go back to rehab, but he's touring again, and this is supposedly their last tour. In 1993, Get a Grip was released. It had incredible hits such as Living on the Edge. This was an incredible album. It has three of my favorite Aerosmith songs. This is one of them. Okay, guys, I've got to play another one of my absolutely favorite songs from this album. Crying. This is probably one of my absolute favorite of Aerosmith, other than Dream On. In the 90s, they had videos with these songs, and they were really good. Alicia Silverstone was in it. Do you remember it? Incredible song. Love it, love it, love it. Okay, guys, I'm going to play another great song from that album. Amazing, from the same album. Big Ones. This is actually on Get a Grip. You know, some interesting trivia. They came up with the name Aerosmith because Kramer, the drummer, said that when he was in school, he would write the word Aerosmith all over his notebooks. The name had popped into his head after listening to Harry Nilsson's album Aerial Ballad, which featured Jacket Art of a Circus performing jumping out of an airplane. That's how they came up with Aerosmith. This was another song from that album. Crazy. They included these songs from Get a Grip on their Big Ones album. And they did a video with it too. And actually, his daughter Liv Tyler and Alicia Silverstone were in the video, if you recall it. And their album, Big Ones, had a compilation of their hits from their Geffen years. Geffen was their producer who he promoted a lot of bands back then in the 70s. And this album went double platinum. Okay, so while Aerosmith was at their height of their popularity, they signed a lucrative multi-million dollar contract with Columbia Records. Although they still owed Geffen two albums, it wasn't until 1995 that they could begin working on their new record under the new contract. They recorded 9 lines, and it was actually plagued with bad luck. They had manager issues. Tim Collins, who helped the band rehabilitate themselves, helped bring them back. They ended up firing him. Upon his firing, Collins insinuated that Tyler was using drugs again, and Aerosmith denied it. After the recording became difficult, they were finally able to fire Collins. In 1998, they released an album that didn't do well, and by then, a blues album and another greatest hits was released, and a best of Aerosmith was released. In 2007, they had the world tour, and in 2009, Perry released a solo album. Steven Tyler released his autobiography, which was very interesting. So I did read his autobiography, which was very interesting. Yep, it's typical of a rock star. Him and Joe Perry were actually really good friends. And Steven Tyler didn't like Joe Perry's girlfriend back in the 70s, and they had issues. And when Joe Perry quit the band, Steven Tyler, it really bothered him because he really, really liked him and cared for him as a friend. So they've gone back and forth, and they're friends right now. But a lot of rock stars go through that. Something interesting from his autobiography. It's really interesting. I mean, it's amazing how these rock stars live. And he was talking about how one time him and Joe Perry had some women with them, and they had an event at night with all of them. They woke up in the morning, and he said, "Man, it was Crab City." And I'm like, that is disgusting. But I guess rock members, you know, They do that all the time, right? Anyway, he did go into rehab, and actually, he just got out of rehab again. In 2010, he did some solo projects and returned to the band for a series of concerts. And of course, you know, he was a judge on American Idol. And then Steven Tyler wrote another memoir, and he had two new singles. He continued to tour with the band, and in 2011, they re-recorded a new album. And as of now, Aerosmith continues to tour in Vegas. They are playing regularly there now that he's back out of rehab. And I will tell you, if you can see them, they are incredible. They really are. They put on a great show. And that is all my info on Aerosmith. Elrod is signing off.